Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the show. We're recording now, Deranged Penguin Podcast, Thanksgiving edition.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Brad.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Give thanks for our overlord. I think that's going to be a new song coming up.
Something like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jenny, do you want to do, who wants to do the thing? Ready?
What thing? We
this
thing.
Week in the fall of Western civilization. Donald Trump's been president-elect for a couple weeks now, and he's appointed a white nationalist, a guy that was unfit to be a judge in the 80s for saying racist things. But now, hey.
He's fit now.
Let's put you at attorney general. And, like, the financial, head of the Fed, whatever the guy he's going to appoint to do that stuff, Securities and Exchange Commission guy, is a banker, Wall Street banker. The guy in charge of the SEC does not believe in net neutrality. It really is like, it's like when Magneto took over the world or something like that, and then everybody he appoints is just like evil, right? It's like, this is like a cartoon. We're getting
party
a little glimpse
there.
Inside of Brad's life. Yeah.
That's right.
How are you doing, Brad, today? I know they let you out of your cage. They let you out in the living room today to record.
Yeah, I'm hanging out with the smallest of the crew here in my lap here. So she'll probably lose her mind at some point. What's up? Yeah, hi.
Let me call me Dad.
She called you what?
Bad Anna.
We gotta work on this insult.
Messed up.
That's not good. That we don't want to do that. Why did you call her Bad Anna? Okay, good stuff.
Live so, parenting.
That's pretty standard. Pretty standard.
Man, they performed that just on cue. How long did you work with that?
I know. It's almost like it happens constantly, right? No. Here, yeah, you can sit up here. Come on. Take a seat. Yeah. Now, my kids are fantastic. I love them. This is what I bargained for. But I give explanations as to their behavior, specifically for the listener, so that they're like, what? You know. That they, you know, just have a little bit of context, because this is an audio media. You don't have the visual component to link up to this. And there isn't any blood today, so I mean, so far, so good.
That's good. It's a good morning.
Yeah. I think what's funny to me is listening to you parent your children, and I guess this is all as I've been older, I see the other side of things. So I remember when I was a kid, and I'd go run up and tell my uncle something or whatever, my uncles, my mom, whoever, an adult, and I'd try to give them a little glimpse into my life, and they're just like uninterested. They're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, don't you see that he hit me with the ball and I call him a stupid head and then we get in a fight and then they're like, yeah.
The grave injustice here.
Like, what's the deal? People are stupid. Stupid adults, man. They don't understand our lives.
Parents just don't understand.
They don't, man. And I can hear, I can see you. You're just like, what? I love you, kid, but what are you doing? I just took a sip of coffee. How you doing, Del? So you got a lot of family coming over?
I'm good, yeah. My brother's in town with his family. My sister is on her way up. And then tomorrow we'll have big meal with about 50 or 60 of our closest relatives.
Yeah, how many turkeys are you guys having this year?
3, 4, 5. Our family ourselves usually do 2 turkeys and a ham. Wow.
Do you know all of the family that comes over? By name?
More or less. I could name them all, yes. I could name them all. Except for maybe the ones over names. 70. I may be hazy on their names.
Dang, that's
they are
up.
Too.
They've been
they
around the too, longest.
Right? Yeah, I know. But I mean, that's just like it's like once you hit like a certain age, you all the old people start looking alike, kind of, you know?
Yeah, it's just like babies.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, I gotta say that like my nephew, my cousins and their kids, I'm not always sure. I need my mom around so she can point out who's who. Like who's this one belongs to that one belongs to this one. So I'm like, there's like 4 kids
whose
here.
Kid are you?
I don't know which one's which. And then one of them's like named after her mom. Kind of they did like a junior thing, but like it's the daughter. So then I don't even know which one's that one all the time. I gotta be honest right now. I don't always know.
Yeah. How many people are y'all expecting?
Well, like I said, there's us here, and then it's gonna be like my brother, his wife, and his daughter, and then I think my sister might come over, and then I think
my cousin and his family might come over. Yeah.
But it's a smallish place, and so we're gonna kind of do shifts. It's
yeah, kind of and it'll be more like people ate at their place, and then they're gonna stop by and nibble on our food.
Yeah, you know, that's cool. The best idea I ever had when I was a kid. Finally got people to listen to me was that we did a bowl system. You remember like way back when the bowls used to rotate, like the Rose Bowl held the national championship, you know, in year A, and then year B was the Orange Bowl, and year C mm-hmm. was whatever. So yeah, I was like, that's what we should do. We should have Thanksgiving right on go eat Wednesday night, but Thanksgiving Day would be the championship. That would be at somebody's house. That would be like my uncle's house. And then we go Friday for somebody else's Thanksgiving. And then Saturday we go do another. We rotate everybody's house. We did that 1 year, and it was 2 years. And it was cool.
I was about to say that you have to have at least 2 to make a rotation. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It went like that. Then by the 4th year, I don't know. They were just like, no. I think somebody moved.
Mark Cuban stepped in and wanted to have a playoff. And...
Yeah. Like God, we had to ruin it. So yeah, there you go. I think. That's fine. So you're gonna have what? How many people at your place there, Brett?
It's pretty modest. It's us and then my folks, and then one of my brothers and his girlfriend.
Bringing the girlfriend in.
Mm-hmm. Fun times. Yeah. So how do your folks decide whose house to go to?
They in their age, I think that they've been reduced to like whatever's available. You know, like I mean, my other brother, he also lives here. You know, but this is his off rotation year, so he goes to his in laws this year in Mississippi.
Okay,
and that's a good thing. Hey, ladies, let's work together. Okay. Yeah, it did break. That's okay. It looks like you broke it. Yeah.
Life
so,
lessons from bread.
And then my little sister is working over Thanksgiving, so I'm really the only game in town.
The only option.
You know?
Yeah. Right, well, hey, Brad. How's it going? It's good to see you again.
I think that they would, you know, sooner do it with just dogs or something like that, but they're like, it's fine. I guess we'll see the grandkids.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited. My dad's flying in today, later this afternoon. I'm really excited to see him. I don't get to see him very often, so it's really exciting.
Yeah, I kind of like that whole, we rotated like Christmas and Thanksgiving. Like Thanksgiving, we were like, all right, 1 year we'll go visit, you know, like Gina's mom in Virginia or somebody else. Or same thing with Christmas. We rotated either one. Like we'd stayed home for one. And go for another. So like last year, but like last year's one and this year's one, because we've had a kid or been about to have a kid, we didn't do so much travel. So it feels weird just to be home again. kind of expected
it's
to
nice,
go.
It's nice, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always
I mean,
nice.
It's, I think it's a blessing and a curse, I guess. Like, I mean, do y'all have a lot of, like, prep, like, work and cooking stuff?
Not a whole lot of prep. It's like a few things day before and then mostly everything day of. We're being lazy when it comes to most of the dessert and buying pie, so.
Dang. That's fine.
It's not too complicated.
I think I joked
Ed
about that last year. Gina was
about
like,
this.
She's like, well, god dang, I don't have, like, if I had two ovens, I can make pie, I can have a dessert oven, and I can have a food oven, and I don't have that, so you're just going to have to take what you get. I was like, let's just joke. Let's just joke.
Stay away. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think this is the one time of year that drives why people have double ovens?
I think it is.
I do too.
It's like the one feast that you make. How many feasts are you making in your life, you know?
Right.
Like, the other time people make a lot of food is, I mean, like, what, during the summer? Like, barbecuing? But that's outside. They'll do that, maybe.
Yeah, and it just seems like if you are the regularly the kind of person like, oh, I make feasts all the time.
Yeah. You're probably not making them.
Yeah, you're probably not the one making them.
Yeah.
You know, if you can afford a double, if you can afford an extra fucking oven in your kitchen, you could probably afford, like, a cook for all your damn feasts and your $5,000 a month food budget or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, or yeah, you have your own cooking show.
It just seems like sort of, I don't know. I don't have a double oven.
Yeah, Del, are you gonna be helping out cooking, or are you just kind of?
Maybe I don't know. I might help. I will help, but my brother and my dad get way more into like the turkey and ham prep and cooking and whatever. So I generally let them.
Do they cook both the turkeys and the ham, or do they get like a honey baked ham and cook?
Usually, it's been different. We've gotten honey baked hams a couple of years, but used to. I guess it depends on what they're doing. If they're doing two turkeys, we probably won't have room for a ham. But we've done it both ways: smoked our own ham and smoked our own turkeys and stuff. But I generally like I stay like they tell me what they're doing, and like I like. Feign interest enough to feel so they feel like I'm involved, and then I just do my own thing.
Disappear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, see your brother walks by.
Hey, yeah. Rhodes, you want to come say hey?
Go buy toys.
Go and buy toys. Okay.
Everybody's walking by looking.
We're going to the grocery store.
This is my life. Okay. Right. It's my dad. Say hey to everyone. My brother. Yep.
I think last time I saw your dad, he kind of had more of a swoop going on. Did he get a buzz cut now?
He got it all cut off, yeah, man.
Dang. There's a certain age, there's a certain temperament you get. You're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not using this fucking comb. I'm gonna buzz this shit down. Buzz it.
It's not buzz, but it's short.
That's what I'm saying. It's like down to like where it can only be one style, no matter what you do.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it does. Yep.
How's
Jeff
fucking work? What are you doing?
He's good. He's working for Playful Entertainment. Making virtual reality video games.
Cool.
Inside into Dale's life.
Lucky's Tale. It's the last game that he made.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to make a nice joke about how you feigning interest in things is pretty much Dale. Dale's.
What?
Yeah. It was like him watching the game, like. Brad, did I tell you that Dell texted me about the Southern Miss North Texas game?
No.
Yeah, I was like, because I'm into the game because North Texas is reaching 5 wins, which technically is bowl eligibility because there are not going to be enough bowl slots, and they have 5 wins and they have a high APR score. So they're going to get in like basically backdoor, right? But 5 wins is almost 6 wins. They have a game this week against UTEP, and if they win that, they're in officially 6 wins. And I'm into the game. It's kind of intense. And then Dell texts me like, "Oh, North Texas is gonna blow it." I'm like, "Wait, I know North Texas football is not Dell's thing. So why is he even?" And it was only because your parents were watching the game and they made you watch it or something.
I was socializing and the game was on. Yes.
Yeah. Feigning interest. This is the game where they throw the ball forward.
Can we talk about coffee briefly?
Yeah, let's talk about coffee.
Are you guys all drinking coffee right now?
Coffee,
motherfucking yeah, I'm drinking coffee. Came off with my night rotation yesterday, and so I'm still sort of gorked out. You know, I'm like, just like every chance I get, I'm like looking for coffee.
Has that been rough? Like,
not really
transitioning.
Do you have like a theme song? Like when you're going to work, do you sing like "Working on My Night Moves"? Do you sing through that? No.
Damn
it. He's going to now.
Now he's gonna be.
I think I might. I have not that. Yeah, I'm gonna have to come up with a theme song.
Well, we ended up at Target the other night, junk food shopping, and so we bought coffee there. And
I want to just point out, I didn't know we were junk food shopping. I just went along.
I knew.
Me and Penelope.
I knew what I was doing.
We were all together, and then I just see Jana just grabbing like handfuls of junk. She's like chips, candy. She's, I was like, what are we doing?
I needed it, and I made it happen. So, anywho, it's really hard to find whole bean coffee at Target.
It is.
Yeah, so we had to buy a bag of ground coffee, and... I don't know if it's the kind of coffee or because it was already ground or what, but usually I can grab a cup from the pot before the pot's finished being brewed and it still tastes really good. Mm-hmm. But this does not taste good.
No, it tastes gross.
It was like super concentrated and murky. Like, I guess it needed to be filled for it all to get distributed evenly in the amount of water that I put in there or something, but... This is not good, guys. I'm not enjoying my morning coffee right now.
I'm not either.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Starbucks Holiday Blend, which used to be like my favorite coffee. Yeah.
Not anymore.
It just tastes like burnt gross.
Yeah.
Because Donald I've been Trump drinking America. Like really good coffee for years now. And
It's not cutting it anymore.
I wonder, though. I think that, you know, I think we live in a coffee bubble. And I don't think that the masses like their whole bean coffee roasted past the first crack, you know, prior to the second, like us. I think that a lot of people just like their destroyed, ground up,
their Folgers.
Coffee. I've had to come to terms with this since moving back to Laurel, Mississippi. There are three coffee shops in Laurel, and I've tried two of them until last night. I tried the last one last night, and this third one, like, they're all okay. It's just kind of coffee. None of them do like high quality, like slow pour stuff. But everywhere I go in Mississippi to get coffee or an espresso drink, I'm always asked, "What flavor do you want?" And I'm like, "No flavor." And they look at me like I'm insane. They're like, "No flavor. I've never even heard of that." And so that's
coffee flavor of the coffee.
That's problem number one. But
no sweet tea.
I was getting coffee with a friend with someone last night, and we were talking.
Working on the night moves.
And we went to this place. It's like the hip place in Laurel. Like, they make amazing espresso drinks and
Walmart.
So I went. No, it's a legit espresso bar, but I went and I was like,
"Is it inside Walmart?"
She's like, "What do you want?" I looked around. And I noticed they didn't really have like they don't have like a slow drip, like a slow pour system or anything like that. And I was like, "Okay, I'll just get like a cortado, you know, because I dig those and you can taste espresso." And I was like, "Do y'all know how to make a cortado?" She's like, "We can make anything, even if it's not on the menu." And I was like, "Oh," I got hopeful. And I was like, "So I was like, can y'all make a cortado?" And she's like, "I don't know what that is." And I was like, "Well, it's like a latte, but it has like half the milk that a latte has, so it brings more of the espresso flavor out." And she's like, looked super confused about it. And she's like, she picked up a cup and she's like, our cups are this size."
Oh no.
Is that okay? And I was like, "Yeah, that's just give me a latte with an extra shot of espresso. That'll be fine."
Yeah, I was gonna.
And she's like,
"What you're saying?" I was gonna say that. We had the same experience. I was going to follow up this before you told your cortado story. When we went to Knoxville, we went to the cool coffee place downtown Knoxville. And we were sitting there. We had just ordered some coffees. And then, there was some English lady, like from England, ordered the cortado. And then the lady was confused. She was like, what? She's like, okay, you, same thing that you just said. You, she had to explain it and kind of guide her through making it. And the lady was kind of confused by the whole thing.
Lady's like holding the cup to her head.
Yeah.
We got cups.
This is this how it starts.
It's not going to fit. There's too, give me too much space at the top. I can't fill the cup up.
Yeah, instead yeah, of like so. Saying what flavor coffee you want, it was all like the other way. It was like, we have frappe lattes, whatever. You know what I mean? It was those kinds of drinks there.
Yeah. And she's like, what flavor do you want? I was like, no flavor. And she looked at me weird. And I was like, okay. And then, so then my, the person I was with, I came off as like a huge coffee. She's like, this place isn't fancy enough for you, huh? It's like, it's fine. It's what I've come to expect.
There's always a huge pause when you coffee. Don't want your coffee like sweet or flavored.
Yeah.
You just want it black.
But the other like downside is that I don't think it would even be sustainable if you had the wherewithal and the motivation to start your own business.
That's what I've thought. I've thought about going to one of these coffee shops and be like, look, let me come in the afternoons and be your like slow pour dude. And I'll like just set up shop and you know, take, you know, cut up whatever I sell. I'll bring some good beans in and let me show y'all or teach you, and then you can do it, you know, once you feel like you have it under control. But I don't think there's a clientele that would even appreciate it here. You
know? Exactly.
That's the thing. There's no demand for
it. Well, I'll just jump in here. That, I mean, I see what you guys are saying. That like, I do agree there's kind of a coffee bubble. I also think there's like a beer bubble, right? And that's what like Budweiser's hoping for. They're like, come on, just come on back to this regular-ass beer. And that's fine because, you know, you need it to kind of balance yourself out, right? You're like, I tasted all this crazy, you know, jalapeno infused beer. Now I just kind of want a beer that tastes like what I thought beer tasted like way back when. Every once in a while, I'll drink a Modelo, just pretty plain. But we like the bar. The level has been raised already because there is a coffee shop there, right? It's funny watching like old Seinfeld episodes where they talk about that. He's like, "Oh yeah, I gotta go get a latte." And like, "What?" Yeah, like, yeah. I go sip on that. And, whoa, man, this espresso's crazy. Like it was like a weird, quirky thing to go get, you know, a non-coffee drink.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna go back to the point where the only place you can get coffee was at a diner, you know, like where we're just black coffee that's been sitting out all week and just reheated. Whoa. We've already, so it's already leveled up. Maybe we'll kind of find a you know, a happy medium there. But I think if you go in and say, hey, look, here are the benefits of a slow pour, people will enjoy that. If you don't know it, you don't know it, and so you see it, and then
they don't
that
know
builds
they
the
want it, and then they'll know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I'm just not sure how many people would even drink it black. Because you kind of have to appreciate the flavors. You can have a little bit of milk.
Black coffee already.
I think so. Like the taste of coffee a little bit. You know.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, because you have to, and I would definitely say there's like a refining of the palate that, like, the more you drink, the more you can taste the flavors and subtlety of different notes and things. Because I couldn't, like, Starbucks didn't taste burnt to me and like overpowering and gross until I stopped drinking and started drinking things with a little bit more delicate nature, and then went back to that undrinkable.
Yeah, you know, despite what Starbucks says about their coffee and how they try to defend the taste of it, what makes me think it is overpowering and burnt and nasty is that they assume everybody wants it sweet. Like, if you get an iced coffee there and don't specify how you want it, you're getting, like, sweet tea version of coffee. They put all this fake sweetener in it, and it's disgusting. They, like, don't intend to serve it black and have it be enjoyed like that.
Yeah. And, I mean, what Starbucks did was necessary. Like, they went through, and then they, you know, they carved this, you know, they created demand for coffee like this, right? For alternate coffee at the time. Like, what, espresso drinking? They got everybody tasting, you know, espresso, essentially. Different types of coffee than they normally experience. I had only drank coffee that you made at home. It was like the Folgers, Maxwell House. That was it. That was what my grandfather drank. That was it. We didn't roast our own beans. Like, why? There's ground here. Why are you going to do all that work? It's right here, done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until you had Starbucks and stuff, and then people saying, actually, this is better than that stupid Starbucks. And then so you try that, right? So you kind of need that. Like, you needed McDonald's to go through, you know, give everybody a taste of a mass-produced hamburger to appreciate a different kind of hamburger. So thanks, yeah, Starbucks, but no thanks anymore.
Yeah.
Although I still get Starbucks. It's real convenient. That's the part I hate about it. You can't get a slow pour coffee on the go when you need it to go, right?
I think convenience in general can be sort of like a self-defeating problem for a product of quality. You know, like a drive-through. I mean, it just sort of like works against a slow pour, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Like, it's the same thing. It's the same way that I feel about like my industry, like pharmacies, like. And it's obviously the same fucking product in my case.
You don't do like handcrafted Tylenol for people?
I know, but the level of service definitely is different. And a drive through.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't really go to a pharmacist. Gina,
why are you looking at me?
Do you have like a level of expectation of like service from Brad? Like, if you went up there, do you expect them to greet you?
Get my pills.
Yeah, you just kind of, they're kind of like gophers. Like, I don't really need them to know my name. Yeah. I feel like it's weird. I don't want the guy to know my name.
Because you're drinking Maxwell House, and that's okay.
And I guess I think your needs might differ at the pharmacy depending on what you're going for. Yeah. Like, if you have something new going on and you've never used this medication and you need some information, I'd be looking for someone knowledgeable back there who has the patience and time to explain it
like,
to me.
I was like, when they explain it to you as they're reading it off the bottle, I'm like, this is...
Says,
so yeah, you just
want
to take this two to four times every.
It looks like a pill, or maybe it's a liquid. I don't know.
And with food, and then they kind of. I'm like, oh yeah, because it has like.
This is a suppository
symbol. Like, all right, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
But that's always the problem with volume when things become volume based business, right, and not service based or
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You.
So
it's the same thing with burgers. It's the same thing with everything. I mean, I just feel like I have never had a burger through a drive-thru that I'm like, oh yeah, this.
I don't know.
No burgers turn you into the Kool-Aid guy.
Like, there's Burger Boy here, and that shit's fucking good.
Yeah,
I don't know why I like it. It just.
I mean, I think Five Guys is great. You know,
nah,
but it's not a drive-thru.
Five Guys is dry.
It's mad. I mean, it's volume, but it's, you know.
What about In-N-Out? You guys like that?
I do like In-N-Out.
Not a fan. Sorry. I love it.
Why not, Brad?
Speaking of giant volume.
I asked a question.
I don't know. I just don't think the flavor is that good. Positive. Like, I mean, I've only had it twice. So In-N-Out. I could have had two shitty In-N-Out burgers, and I'm formulating, you know, an opinion of a chain based on that. But I just didn't think that.
It wasn't your thing.
Well, we only had it like three times.
Like it had the flavor. I don't feel like it had like the substance that I've come to expect of a burger.
Which is what?
You know, Del, why do you like it?
Whataburger's overrated. It's not that fucking
Whataburger's overrated.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh my God, I'm just going to go back to Texas for Whataburger. Shut the fuck up.
Hey, Gina.
Hey, why do you like In-N-Out Burger?
I think that it tastes awesome. I love the sauce that's on it, but I think the burger patty is really good too. And the animal style. Maybe you haven't gotten the right thing, dude.
I tried one of the animals out, which is a little out of control. I mean,
the double-double? Do you get double-double, or do you get a single?
I don't remember.
See, your ratio is off there, man. Yeah. It's got to be double-double.
You guys don't like your hearts, huh? You're just
ratio's
like, fuck
way
you,
off, man. Whatever, you get a double-double.
Fuck you, huh? Yeah. That one time.
He doesn't know what he eats there.
I don't.
Yeah. It's because you don't order.
I don't.
Fucking wipe all your work for you.
Yeah. I don't care, man. It's like, just give me something good. God,
Gina, why do you wipe this guy's ass? It's fresh ingredients, man. Like, that
you guys
day.
Have seen it. It's big.
I don't want to be, yeah. No, I mean, look, like I said, everybody deserves a little trash. Sometimes you go to the junk food aisle and you grab some junk food. Sometimes you go to McDonald's and you get a McDonald's. You're like, you know. Whatever. There's something. There is value there. It's convenient. they do make it, you know, taste good. It's not good for you. Like, In-N-Out Burger is a little bit better than McDonald's, but, you know, whatever. It's whatever. It's fine to go back and get some of that.
The best thing about working on a farm is I could eat all the food.
Mute your mic, Brad. There we go. I just like it's at the point where he's getting distracted by the yelling. I'm like, yeah, it's too bad. But then he's just like, I'm just going to walk off.
Oh my gosh. This is awesome.
All right, so what you're saying? You're on the farm and you're eating straight from Mother Earth's teat is what you're
saying. Whatever you want. So anything. I eat In-N-Out like all the time. Never had to worry about like gaining weight or being unhealthy or anything like that. It was amazing.
Like cholesterol or something? I don't know.
Anymore. Work at hard labor for 8 hours a day. I mean, that was...
Yeah.
Wait, are you saying that you were fulfilled as a human because you were more closely aligned with what your body was designed to do?
He just said he wasn't fat. That's all.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is that, like, humans are designed to walk long distances, right? Because we're tall, we can see, we can do that. And so Wrong. Then you do all this kind of stuff, and you're like, hey, well, I just feel good. I feel like, you know, I'm fulfilling my purpose.
Wrong.
It's like when our dogs are super happy walking long distances and smelling shit. They're like, it's almost like that's what they're designed to do.
But we spend our whole... Like everything about civilization is trying to not do that. It's trying to find ways where we can literally just sit on our butts all day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing is that we just basically got too smart for ourselves. Like, I read the one thing that people didn't get plaque until they started farming or something like that, until they started sitting around or whatever. But then even then, like, it's kind of a trade-off. Like, we have longer lives now, but they're slightly less healthy? Like, would you rather have a short burst of amazing life? I guess, you know? Died at 30, but it was fulfilling. Or you go 70 years. 80 years. I don't know.
No, man. At this way, I'm like, that would be... I feel like I've had an awesome 30 so some odd years. Like, I look into the future. What else is there?
Yeah. Dang, man! You just saw your dad walk by, and that's what your thought was. You're like, "What's this guy? This guy." A little bit of dread, I guess. Maybe excitingness for the death that awaits. I was reading about in San Antonio, the Trump marketing team, the Trump digital team, is based here. And, you know, they basically advertised on Facebook and they have data on 220 million Americans. And they use that data to micro-target potential Hillary Clinton supporters and basically get down the vote. They were like, Hillary Clinton is blah, blah, blah. They basically just, like, did a good job targeting them. And now, a lot of people are, like, praising, like, wow, great job by the Trump team. I think it's more a bad job by the Hillary Clinton team because they didn't do any of this because they were just like, it's Hillary Clinton. She's the greatest candidate, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't really do the work to win. It's kind of a bad candidate. They didn't do the job. So whatever. But I did get a little discouraged and a little sad because I was like, fuck. Just big data and Facebook and all this other shit. Not that I actually thought I'm very unique in this world because we're not. We're all kind of, you know, they can profile a lot of us. We're like, 30-year-old male, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's probably going to like this. And I'm like, oh, hey, no, I like it. Yeah. I mean, they know what we like. They kind of target movies like that. And then you probably like this. And I'm like, yeah, I do like it. It's pretty cool. So we're not that different. We're, you know, we are who we are. And it's fine. It just, I don't like to be reminded of it and, you know, treated so cynically. Just seeing it just kind of depressing. But we'll say, I think Black Friday's coming up. I encourage everybody to shop local, do some local stuff. We were talking about these big chains and things, and without getting too deep in the economic, national economic weeds here, I don't know if you can get deep into the macro level weeds, but whatever. My point is that it's a lot of the fact that the local businesses, right, are franchises of giant corporations, right? So, you know, you were talking about these local places that you can go talk to Joe's coffee shop and say, hey, man, how about I be the slow pour guy for you? He might be willing to do that, right? You go talk to the local Starbucks or the giant chain place and you tell them that. They're like, no, it's not gonna work. It's not going to happen. And that's good and bad. I mean, I guess. Was that in The Sopranos where they went to go shake down at a local place and the guy was like, look, this is a national chain. You can strong arm me. They're gonna just fire me. The next guy's gonna come in. They don't care. They don't care about any of this. And they're like, "God, what's the deal?" It's like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the bad part, right? You can't corrupt the local businesses that way, but you can't influence them for the greater good either. You know what I mean? It's like they don't care. Yeah. In Benton, Arkansas, they don't give a fuck about what's happening. Nope. In you know Church, Texas. Or,
nope.
Don't care. They look at the numbers like, you know, sell better or you're fired.
Yeah, that's right.
So
you are the smallest cog in the biggest wheel, however the fucking expression goes.
Yeah, and that's the whole this thing about globalization. Globalization did kind of affect the global economy that way because we made it easier. And it was both Democrats and Republicans, but largely Republicans. That enacted these policies that made it easier for these giant corporations to take this soul out of your small town, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, shop local. Support local mom and pop shop. They may not shop have the pops. Lowest prices, but they'll actually recognize you when you come in, and that counts for something.
Mm, is that what you want?
Hey!
I like that. Well, I mean, I understand the value in anonymity, too, but... No, we're not getting new clothes.
Yeah, like maybe you're not super excited about the sex shop guy recognizing your name, you know, recognizing your face. Like, hey, so how'd those butt plugs work out for you, you know? Like, you don't need that in your life.
What? Oh, Lord.
But maybe the others, the you know, mom pop shop. I'm just saying, right? It's just... Right? Brett's, I don't know, Brett's laughing like he knows exactly. He's like, yeah, that's me. It did.
I love getting my butt plugs from.
That's why I had to move from Richmond, Virginia.
That's right. Because
they didn't work out for me, and I was
my local butt plug guy started telling everybody, you know, about my my obsession. Had to get out of town. Oh my gosh!
Thanksgiving. Hopefully, people are blasting this. Thanksgiving. Get around, folks. We're going to. Well, this is our
Thanksgiving meal. We're going to listen to this Thanksgiving episode of Deranged Penguin. Yeah. Because we don't have enough people already sitting around our table, we're going to add 4 more adults and 3 kids.
Yeah.
Who are or crying. 5, 6, 7 people randomly wandering by and yelling things. That's right.
We should have all had like a turkey sandwich to have Deranged Penguin Thanksgiving right here.
Oh, we should have.
That would have sounded. Awful.
Yeah.
That would be great. I don't know why this just occurred to me, but like there should be a like an independent business who plays off of the Black Lives Matter, like the Black, you know, lives don't matter, like Black Fridays don't matter. Support like independent business. Is this a terrible idea? Is this coming to me? It's just
all
like
Fridays matter. Yeah. I'm not sure what
I think
say.
That's what it would be. It's all Fridays matter. Fridays. Yeah.
All Fridays matter. Thank you.
This is cringy, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
If you tweet it, we'll retweet it, and that'd be fine.
Yeah. Just keep tweeting that,
man. Good times. That was.
What's your deal about Black Fridays? All Fridays matter.
Yeah. And then you get it. And you're like, no. It's always funny when people actually try to explain it like clearly to people. They're like, no, it's just like this right here. And they're like, huh? You know? And then like...
No, I don't know.
They don't see the irony in them like trying to... What am I trying to say?
Like sometimes when people learn, they're trying to explain the other point.
Yeah, and then they even use it against them, and then they don't realize that they're making the same arguments.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And
I feel ya.
Everything's awful, guys. I don't know.
That's not the lesson of this episode.
Everything is awful.
Came out of writing, though, that for SNL. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That came out of...
Dave Chappelle was funny. Kristen Wiig wasn't. I guess, man, I don't know how he turned into the dude that...
Dave Chappelle's episode, he had a great opening monologue.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was good. Was it the first time you watched SNL?
I didn't watch SNL. I only watched the clips of him from SNL.
That's very, very 2016 of you.
Yeah. Get what you need.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I'm getting closer and closer to the point where I've seen enough sports in my life that I don't want to watch sports. I could say, let me just get rid of it.
Really?
Yeah.
You promise?
It's like, could have fooled me.
Yeah. I mean,
not seen evidence of this, but go on.
Well, I mean, like, I haven't watched a lot of soccer, right, recently.
That's true.
Yeah, I've cut down.
But you kind of switch sports gears, and you always do.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just, like, the only thing keeping me to the TV, like, I don't watch, you guys watch more TV than I do. Like, it's always on cooking shows or stuff. Like, the TV would be off. Like, right now, it would be off most of the day until I'm like, well, it's 4:30, time for the game. Turn on the game, turn off the game, go about my business. So if it weren't for that, I wouldn't even watch anything. Brad, what's your TV watching like? Y'all don't have TV, right? No, he's not paying attention right now. Is he parenting?
Yes, I'm parenting.
You're denying more people clothes.
Yeah.
I am.
What if she asked if she can wear some new
clothes? No, she's close, and she wants different clothes. And it was
knockdown
drag out of a death match this morning about how she wanted that dress. And I said, you don't like this dress. It doesn't feel like good. Like, we've been through this before. Oh, the dress. This is the dress for me. Fine. Okay, it's fine. Fine. I'm cold. I don't want this dress to get full of titchy. I hate it for you.
What do you watch? Adele, you don't watch TV, right? There's no TV? Do they have TV there? Your parents have TV?
Mm-mm. They do have TV.
And you don't watch it? You abstain?
I watched The Walking Dead. I don't know why.
I have no idea what's happening on that show now.
We stopped watching it like 48 years ago.
I don't know.
At least.
Early abandoners.
Yeah.
Y'all are so ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Totally hip.
Hipster.
When did y'all stop watching it?
Season 3 or 4 or something like that?
Yeah, I think I was about the same place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From what Twitter tells me, we haven't really missed much. That everybody's still frustrated with it. The plot lines are still stupid. And
that's the nature of the show.
Annoying.
Yeah.
So no TV for you, Brent?
I'm excited about the next season of The Man in the High Castle coming out on Amazon Prime at this point. Daddy.
Did we catch up next week?
No, we're like on episode 5.
I mean, it's like
season 1.
We tried, but we didn't get into it.
There were only 8 episodes. You're like almost there.
Yeah, it couldn't even pull us into that.
Well, I mean, it's basically the story of America right now, so might want to get back on board.
Great.
See how it ends.
Yeah.
How are we gonna die?
That's right.
What about The Americans? You guys watch that?
The show's great. I like that one.
That is worth getting into and catching
it
up on.
It is worth.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't be bitches.
Lesson of the day.
We were watching The Affair came back. We're watching some of the affair.
Some affairs.
Yeah. It's still a good show. Masters of Sex has kind of fell off a little bit. What is it? Season 4? It's season 4.
It is.
And I mean, season 3 was kind of questionable. 1 and 2 were good.
They're grasping.
Yeah. Season 4 is kind of. It's not holding my attention. Like, we're letting it pile up, and we're not excited about watching it. That's how not good it is. Westworld. I still think it's good. Westworld's a good show.
Somebody was telling me about that the other day. You're pro Westworld?
I am pro Westworld.
They didn't like it that much. Yeah, I heard it was like hit or miss.
I've
heard both camps.
It's all right.
Like, some people
I think if you're one of these broad-ass broads.
Yeah, he thinks it's amazing, and I'm like, eh. It's okay.
But that's how she feels about Game of Thrones, too. You're always like, oh, I guess.
It's like
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I can't explain how I feel about it without possibly making myself sound stupid. So I'm just going to stop and say.
Well, I'll go ahead and start talking about how my wife maybe is stupid because she was like three episodes in.
Like sometimes it's like hard to follow, and I'm like, why are they talking about this?
Are they
robots? It's not that interesting. And
well, I think in Gina's defense, the first three or so episodes she watched, she was compromised. Like she was like holding the baby, and the baby was yelling in her face.
Yeah, you like to watch super complicated things when I'm half asleep and distracted.
Yeah. but you found like the last episode intriguing. Then.
Yeah, it's finally getting better. The first one's like, without your interest in it, I wouldn't have kept watching it. I would have just been like, eh, forget that show.
Yeah, I think the difference there was because I had watched it, I saw the previews and I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to this. And so when it came on, it was more my interest in the whole idea that kind of sustained me. The first couple episodes were a little bit, I think, vague. And you can easily put it down if you're not, you weren't interested in it, so.
I didn't get it.
I think Westworld's a good one. If you have any interest at all in, like, creative process or something like that, some game designers, they appreciate some things about it. Like, there was a thing on IO9, I think it posted on Slack.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
And they're like,
and that's what I told you early on. I was like, I think you kind of have to be into that to appreciate the show. And you're like, no, not really.
Well, come on. I look at it as like there's something for everyone there. I know a little bit about game design just because I've read a lot of stuff by game designers before that I could see it. But I don't design games, right? I play video games, and so I could see some of that stuff there.
Yeah, I don't play them. I don't design them. Yeah.
Gina, I'm with you. That ship has sailed for me, like the game thing. So I'll hop on board and I'll see if there's like a huge disconnect with me.
Yeah, let us know.
Just study because I happen to be male and not into video games right now.
Let us know.
But again, I don't think it's like you have. If you play video games, then you'll appreciate it. I think if you play video games, that part of the show, will be makes sense to you. You'll like
a necessary layer, because without that layer,
I think largely if you've watched these kinds of shows like Robot Comes to Life, right? Because it's essentially what it is, right? It's like, you know, there are the people that like, what happens when your creations turn on you or take a life on their own? That's the underlying like premise here, and I think they take some spins on that and they play off of that, off your expectations of what that's gonna
sure.
be.
Sure,
and I like that.
Sure.
You like it. You were watching it.
I was watching it.
Whatever. So Westworld, I like The Affair. What else were we watching? Insecure, the show's funny.
Yes.
That's a lot easier to digest because it's only 30 minutes. It's not a whole hour. It's not a lot of investment, I think.
I've never even heard of most of these shows that you're
watching. I haven't either. The Affair.
So Insecure is on HBO. It's a half-hour comedy show, and it was created by Issa Rae, and she got her start on YouTube doing a show she called Awkward Black Girl. And so it takes some of the jokes from that, and then she has other writers, and it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's pretty
good. Is she the lead?
Yeah, she is.
So she's retained. It's good that she's to retain ownership in the series.
It's kind of like Girls for black girls.
But I will say that it's not like as, what is it, untethered from reality, I think. I think some of the other, like I was just kind of reading Twitter, some people said, you know what's cool about it is that it feels like the real LA that I've known, that I've lived in, or that people have talked about, and not the LA that you see in like shows or movies, right? It's more like his real ass people in LA, and not glammed up kind of shit.
I'll check it out.
Cool. Because I think that's a big problem with TV and movies, and they never show what's real. You're seeing a little bit. There's a layer there, right? That's what I'm saying. Like you're like, hey, I like it because it shows what's real. That's all it is.
There's no layer.
Gina says there's no layers in anything.
That's the lesson of today. If you're listening, there's no layer.
No Layer.
Is that the show title? No Layers.
So is everybody ready to gain weight this week?
Yeah. Excited.
Get that started.
I don't know. It only just started getting kind of cold here. Is it cold there? No. Are you wearing a Jets jersey?
I'm wearing an American Eagle sweatshirt that I've had, I think, since I was in high school. I'm going to explain a lot.
Yes, exactly. Is it cold there?
It is. It has been. So it's been like 40s, 50s, and then the last couple of days it was in the 70s. But it's been getting about 30 degrees at night.
I was going to ask Brad, but he put his headphone down and walked off with his child. Gina, has it been colder?
Swing in temperature is pretty normal for Mississippi this time of year.
Gina, has it been colder?
It's not cold here at all. It was a little cool for a little bit. Like the last week or two, it was in the 50s, which is cool-ish for us. But the past couple of days, it's been back to the 70s. Kind of warm. You can go outside in shorts if you want to. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet say, "All right, it's sweatshirt and shorts weather." It's never sweatshirt and shorts weather. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that.
That shouldn't be a thing.
I hate you.
Yeah, so I was forming this hypothesis that maybe eating a lot in the winter used to be because of the weather and you needed to beef up and stay warm. Mm-hmm. But I think at least where we live and maybe in the times we live, it's more like end of the year burnout. Like you're so busy all year long and by the end of the year you're sick of everything and you can't think. Like nutrition is the last thing on your mind. So you eat because you don't care anymore. And you can start over in a couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I think everybody gets a little vacation around this time, even if it's like it's relative to your normal life. So some people get a lot of vacation, right? They're like, yeah, I'm going to be gone all December.
Yeah.
Some people get a couple of days. But whatever it is, like we've been busier. We've had busier winters. And it's always served as kind of like a respite. You kind of recharge. January comes around. You're like, all right. I feel ready to attack the year. And that's why everybody has resolutions and shit.
You endorse that?
Yeah, I'll endorse that.
I was talking about that with somebody yesterday about the, like, my favorite thing about working in academia and really the church too is the natural, like, cycles that have, like, breaks, like, downtime built in. You know,
yeah,
and like times for rest and reflection and recharging, and you kind of have a climax and then an apotheosis, and people who have regular 9-to-5s don't get that as much, I don't think. You know, at least there's a little bit, I guess, assumed that you're gonna take some time around the holidays, but it's not like everything kind of stops, you know, and you have a moment to just be, or like an extended moment, a week or two, you know.
Yeah, and we're gonna wrap up the show, guys. Don't worry, you're not gonna.
No, we're not.
2-hour podcast.
I have more things to talk about.
I agree with you, and we kind of talked about this before. That one of the great things about taking fraternity leave was the break. That, I say, you get like, it was like 4 weeks that took. And the first 2 weeks were kind of decompressing. And then the next 2 weeks, I was like, okay. You know, like I can figure stuff out. And I think you need that every once in a while. Everybody needs a break. And that's one of the problems with American society that has been well documented, is that it's our obsession with working. And a lot of times we're not even working. It's not like true restful, or it's not true productive work. And so you're just kind of at your desk working, quote-unquote, and you're not really working. You're not producing as much just because you're working longer hours. And some people just need to stop, take a break, and come back to it. Everything will be better. Yeah? Yeah? So everybody enjoy your break.
Yeah, I don't think that like we're the ones who need to sell on that, just to be clear.
Done. Sold.
Everybody stop and take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Deranged Penguin Podcast Thanksgiving episode.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's not the way you say it. They're going to have the wrong impression.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You guys want to do that whole thing where you say what you're thankful for?
No? Don't go sappy on me, man.
I would, you know, as into sap as Gina is, I'm gonna go ahead and cater to your willingness to listen to sap and say I'm thankful for the negative shit in my life. I am, because realistically, I think you look at the news, it's easy to get pissed off. But I feel like I'm thankful that my kids were up all night last night. Because I got kids and I love them. I'm thankful that I have student loan debt, because it means that I had an opportunity to get an education. So yeah, I feel like I am thankful for a lot of shit. Not typically the stuff that people were like clamoring about, but
God, this is like a hipster's thing.
You should write a blog about this, man. It's like turning negativity on its head, dude.
You know what? I'm thankful for this, you know,
being the
flesh eating bacteria eating my face off right now.
Because I have a face. Some people don't even have faces.
I see where you're coming from.
I see where you're saying, Brad.
I see where you're coming from.
It's been a frustrating podcast. I think it's easy to be pissed off, but I'm very much.
But you're here.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. My fellow podcast mates and the people who have been interrupting them.
I get it, because you know, like, our kid would be yelling at us. I'm like, I'm frustrated that I hear sounds, but then I look at you and I'm like, oh, you're just so fucking cute. I hate you. Del, what are you thankful for? Are you thankful for?
I'm actually like, I'm gonna hop on the bandwagon and say you guys in the podcast, the fact that we have the ability to come together every week or every couple of weeks and maintain a depth of friendship and relationship that wouldn't be possible without technology. So I guess I'm also thankful somewhat for technology. But nice to wake up this morning, and I think the fact that we get together this week, we're all like, yeah, let's just get up at 9 in the freaking morning podcast together.
Yeah.
It's a best way to do it in the morning.
You know? It really is.
I said all this, yeah.
Adam,
is that what you're thankful
up.
For? You already said it.
I'm thankful for my great ideas, you know? Being fucking awesome. Great.
I'm thankful that I have the best ideas and all best, of you guys realize
best ideas. The best ideas. Gina?
What
are you thankful for?
I can agree with what each of you have said so far.
But will you, though?
I can, but I won't. I am thankful for...
Looks like you're looking around for things to be thankful for. That?
I love lamp.
That's a good book to look at there. I haven't read it, but I'm thankful that it's there.
Yeah, I'm thankful for my life right now and where I am in it. And I'm thankful for being 29 and appreciating it. And 29 is almost over, and I'm excited about that too. And I'm thankful for...
Gina's always wanted to be a 62-year-old.
I have.
Woman.
I can't wait.
I don't understand.
It's coming to get me. I'm thankful for... what else? Our kid and having an all right person to raise her with. And, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I too am thankful for everybody that I have in my life. I think, you know, especially at times like that, it's hard to maintain a perspective, even with having kids, right? You know, like, this has been, like, the year of our child. And it's like with anything, like, when you're down in the fucking depths of shit, and you're like...
I think every year is the year of your child from now on, dude.
Well, no, I mean, like, but yeah, it is, I guess. Look at Brett. But I think...
It's not fair.
I think we've approached it. I know I've at least approached it in the same way I've approached big changes in our life all the other times. is that you try to remember why in the hell you're doing this anyway, right? What was the whole point? Like, sometimes I was working in a distribution center, and I'd stop. I'm like, why the fuck am I wrapping this pallet at 7:30 in the evening, and it's hot as fuck back here? What the hell am I doing? And then I'm like, well, I'm doing this so I can pay for school, so I could fucking do this, so I could do that, right? And it's kind of the same thing. Like, every once in a while, I'm looking around. I'm like, God, I'm just... What happened? Because, like, last year, we were doing kind of stuff we wanted to do, and now we're not. I'm like, well, it's because we have a kid. It's not like just, you know, like I'm fucked up and I lost perspective. It's just like we're, you know, this is the time where you need to be especially careful or pay attention to your kid and stuff like that. And so I'm thankful that we have a kid, that I have a good wife. I'm thankful for I have friends. I'm thankful for Brad parenting his child because it brings us no end of laughter.
The ghost of Christmas future creeping in right here as Adam's like, I'm so thankful for having a kid and the perspective that it brings.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the fun part about all that stuff is that those are good problems to have. Like, you know, like you could have bad shit, right? It's fun to have a kid yell at you. It's fun to have a wife to be frustrated with. She didn't even make me breakfast this morning, guys. Can you believe this shit? You know, it's good to have all those. Those are good problems to have. Like, I'd rather have those problems than other problems. And
did you just call me a problem?
Yeah, I'd rather have this problem.
Happy Thanksgiving, Gina.
Hey, problem. By the way, I'm starting to get hungry over here.
Get the fucking coffee out of here. Yeah, I mean, it's good. I'm glad. I agree. I'm glad we have you guys to have these bi-weekly discussions. But stuff, it's good. It keeps you sane. So
it does.
Yeah.
Think I'll keep
it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving
from
happy
all of us to all of you. I should record promos for this show like they
you
do.
Just, you couldn't hit the button then, could
no,
you?
No, I couldn't.
You just couldn't. It was the perfect moment. You had to keep talking.
I don't like perfect moments. I don't want you to believe that there are perfect moments out here, people.
Hit the
they're
button.
They're never fucking perfect moments.